following message was given by Brother Osmar Suarez and Edwin Wrighton in the church in New York City on the Lord's Day, April 23rd, 2017. The title of the message is Eating and Digesting the Word of God. Scripture reading is Ezekiel chapter 2, verse 8, and Ezekiel chapter 3, verses 1 through 4.
This morning we declare we do not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of your mouth.
Amen.
Lord, speak to our heart this morning.
Amen.
We do not trust in our ability.
Amen.
Oh, our trust is in you.
Amen.
You are our Savior.
Amen.
You are the living God.
Amen.
And we praise you.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Amen. Saints, when the brothers asked me to speak this morning, my first reaction was, I cannot give a message. I am not qualified by no way to do that. But I can share what I have enjoyed this week. And I think we all can testify we had a very good portion this week for us to enjoy.
Amen.
So I will share what I enjoy. Amen. Then our brother Ed will share his portion. And then it will be your turn to share your enjoyment. So I will share four small points that I enjoy this week. The first one is, I do have a real fresh appreciation for the word after entering into the verses of this week. So I want to share that with you. Second, the way to receive the word of God. Third, that this is a personal matter. And I saw something in the word this week very, very fresh and enlightening for me. And fourth and last, the proper digestion and assimilation of the word. So on the first point, this first appreciation for the word, I just saw something this week that after I see what the word really is for me, then I am really aspiring to take the word of God in. It's like when you learn about this dish that is so delicious and so good for you, then that increases your appetite for it. So I by saying this, I really want to dive into the word more and more.
Amen.
And I pray that the Lord will give me the grace to do so.
Amen.
And first on this appreciation of the word, I saw the connection between the word of God and the accomplishment of his will. The Lord does everything by his word. Everything he does is through his word.
Amen.
And we see this principle throughout the Bible. Even from the beginning of the Bible, Genesis chapter 1, verse 3, there we read, and God said, let there be light.
Amen.
And there was light.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Only the word of God can do such a thing.
Amen.
Well, there are many things in us that are not. But the Lord says so, and he will be.
Amen.
So this really increases my faith this week. And this connection between the purpose of God and his speaking, we see it clearly in Isaiah, well, throughout the Bible, but I was touched by this verse, Isaiah 55, 11. We can read it together. Hallelujah. My word will not return to me vainly. The King James Version says void, meaning empty, without an effect. But the word of God is living and operative.
Amen.
And it will accomplish the purpose for what God spoke that word. So when we receive something spoken from the mouth of God, oh, it will accomplish the purpose for what it has been spoken. And I am really full of hope and full of faith that by receiving the speaking of God, he will accomplish in me what he desires. Another verse I was touching this matter was Hebrews 4:12. We can also read it together. Praise the Lord, his word, according to this verse, is living, is operative, and is fully able.
Amen.
Hallelujah. By receiving such a word, the word does something in me. It causes something in our being. This word operates. It is because of the operation of the Word of God that we are here this morning. Oh, praise the Lord, the Word of God is operating within us. You know, sometimes I feel a hopeless case, a lost case in certain matters. Oh, but this gives me so much hope that it in Jesus is the way. As we take the word in, that is the only way. The only way for something to be changed inwardly is to receive inwardly the operative and living word of God.
Amen.
Amen. On the second point, on how to receive it, we see this principle in Ephesians 6, 17 and 18. Can we read those verses? Amen. After seeing that the word is what I need and that I need to receive it, then how do I receive it? The Bible tells us clearly that it is by means of all prayer.
Amen.
We can receive the word by praying the Bible, by praying the words in the Bible into my being. And not only so, but we can let this word to stay in me by chewing the word through the day. And then the Lord has a way to speak to me in that word. The vocabulary of the Spirit is the Bible.
Amen.
And the Spirit will speak to me with the Bible that is within me. So I need to take the Word of God in and chew it and occupy my mind with the Word. This way my mind will be renewed and the Lord will have a way to speak to me. Hallelujah. And this practice, we call it prayer reading. Right? But the prophet Jeremiah in the Old Testament, he didn't call it prayer reading. He called it eating. Hallelujah. Let's read Jeremiah 15, 16. Amen. God is edible.
Amen.
Hallelujah. God is good for food.
Amen.
The main function of the Bible is not to provide us with knowledge about the divine facts, but the main function of the Bible is to provide us with food.
Amen.
Even the Apostle Peter spoke concerning this, saying, long for the guileless milk of the word. And then he says, if you have tasted that the Lord is good.
Amen.
So the word, the Lord in the word is good to enjoy, for us to eat, for us to taste. Amen. And Ezekiel 2:8, it tells us also, we can read that verse together. Again, it's in the back. But you, son of man, hear what I say to you. Do not be rebellious like the rebellious house. Open your mouth and eat what I give. Open your mouth and eat what I give you. Eat what I give you. Not what I pick, but what he gives me. Amen. And here it touches, the word touches on something, and it's rebellion. I think we all have to recognize that there is a rebellion nature within us. We all have that rebellious nature. And that rebellious nature does not like to come to the Word. Sometimes we feel that way. But we have to come to the Word. And this is the speaking here to Ezekiel. In fact, the verse begins saying, but you. And that is because the preceding verses explains that the people of Israel in those days, they didn't want to hear the voice of the Lord. But here is spoken to the prophet. But you. Amen. This word is for me. But you.
Amen.
But you. Son of man, hear what I say. oh Lord, that we have the grace to come to the Lord and hear His voice. And so according to Ezekiel here, not receiving God speaking is rebellious. We must receive God speaking. And also the prophet Jeremiah spoke on this matter, saying that my people have committed two evils. Chapter 2, verse 13. He said, my people have committed two evils. They forsaken me, the fountain of living water. That's the first evil. And the second evil, they went to find another source for their satisfaction. Other sources that have no water at all, and forsaking the Lord. So not coming to the Lord to find our satisfaction in Him through the Word, not enjoying the Lord, according to Jeremiah, is an evil thing to do. And Ezekiel called it rebellious. So not coming to the Word and feed on the Word is both evil and rebellious. Oh, this was so much light to me. Sometimes because of this rebellious nature, we feel like, not today. But, oh Lord, these verses will remind me I need the Word of God. And even when I don't want to, I still need the Word of God. This is the only way to be saved from this rebellious nature. Do not be rebellious, was spoken to the prophet, and today this is spoken to us. Amen. On the third point, it is a personal matter. I really enjoy this point. Because in Ezekiel 3:3, we read, we can go there. Ezekiel 3:3, can we read it together? So here we read, and he said to me, and then he said, I am giving you. So this is a transaction between two persons. This is something very personal. Even when we do it in a corporate way, what we receive is individually. I cannot eat for you, and you cannot eat for me. This is something that is just the way it is. God created us that way. So the same way with the Word, this is a personal matter. We have to have a personal contact with the Lord and receive Him in the Word by exercising our spirit on the words of the Bible. And when we take in the Word, we actually take in the Lord Himself. This is very clear in the Bible. In John chapter 1, verse 1, we read, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Hallelujah, the Word was God. And then in verse 14 we read, and the Word became flesh and tabernacled among us. So this Word, whom is the incarnated God in the person of Jesus Christ, He is the Word and He is also the Spirit. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 45, we know there we read that He became the life-giving Spirit. Amen. In His resurrection. Amen. Hallelujah. Today, the Lord is the Spirit. Amen. The Lord is the Spirit. Amen. And we just read in Ephesians 3:17, there we read that the Spirit is the Word. Amen. And the Word is the Spirit. Amen. So the Word conveys the very person of the Lord. When we touch the Word with our spirit, then we receive these words as spirit and as life. The Lord said, He who eats me, he also shall live because of me. But this eating him is not eating his physical flesh. Even if the disciples will eat a piece of his physical flesh, they will get nothing out of it. That's why the Lord explained, the flesh profits nothing. But the words that I have spoken to you are spirit and are life. Amen. Oh, Lord, that the words in the Bible will not only be black letters in a white paper, but that they will be spirit and life to us. Amen. This happens when we really have this personal contact with the Lord in His Word. Amen. In John 5:39, and 40, we have those verses there, we see that in the Old Testament, some of the religious of that age, the Jewish people, they actually saw something different from the Word and the Lord. We should not separate the Lord from the Word. Can we read these verses? The scriptures testify concerning me, said the Lord. But you're not willing to come to me that you may have life. So the only one who gives life is the Lord. Not the words. The words by themselves, they do not give life. Only the Lord gives life. Only the Lord, the person of the Lord, gives life. May we never miss the person when we come to the Word. And I was really impressed by the story in the Bible in chapter 1 of the Gospel of John. When we read the story of Nathanael, I think we all are familiar with his story that he came to see the Lord. But I never see a detail, and sometimes in the details is where the light is. And I heard Brother Peter sharing a little bit about that, and I was puzzled, like, I haven't seen that. So I went back to that portion, and I saw something. So for the sake of time, we're not going to read the verses, but I'm going to tell you the story in a summarized way. So Nathanael was an Israelite, and he was under a fig tree. So he was not in the plaza or in the streets or in his living room with the scripture. He was somewhere in the field under a fig tree where no one knows he was there. And actually, Philip was looking for him because Philip already found the Lord, and he wanted to bring Nathanael to the Lord. So finally, he finds Nathanael, and he brings him to the Lord. And Nathanael comes, and as soon as the Lord sees him, the Lord says, "Behold, truly an Israelite, in whom there is no guile." Wow. And then he said, "How do you know me? How do you know me?" And the Lord answered, "Before Philip called you, while you were under the fig tree, I saw you." When Nathanael was there where no one could see, and where no one knew he was there, I have the impression he was on the scriptures. He was seeing the scriptures, but the Lord was seeing him. Oh, that we may have this experience every day. When Nathanael heard this, his heart melted, and he said, "You are the Son of God." Amen. Oh, may we have this experience daily. Amen. We know he's the Son of God, but you know, when your heart melted before the Lord, because you have a personal contact, there is a confirmation in your spirit, there is an assurance in your heart. Amen. You are the Lord. Amen. You are the Son of God. Amen. Oh, may we have this experience daily in his Word. Contacting the person that is conveyed in the Word. Amen. And the last point, the proper digestion and assimilation of the Word. Let's read Psalms 119:103. Sweeter than honey to my mouth. Amen. Hallelujah. The Word is sweet. Sweeter than honey to my mouth. And Ezekiel kind of had the same experience. He said, "I ate it and it was like honey in my mouth in its sweetness." Amen. However, John tells us a little bit more in the book of Revelation about this experience of eating, digesting, and assimilating the Word. That is in Revelation 10:9-11. Can we read those verses?
Thank you.
Amen. So John devoured the word. This means not only to receive it, but to take it in and make it part of our being. And this is the way for us to be constituted with God's element. It's the only way, by receiving his word. But this requires not only to experience the sweetness in our mouth of the word, but also the bitterness in our stomach. What is the word talking about? There is a wonderful note in the recovery version of the Bible, verse 10, note 2. I'm going to read it for you. He says, when we receive the divine revelation by devouring it, it is sweet as we eat it, but it becomes bitter as we digest it. That is, as we experience it. That means to allow the word to reach our inner being. That means to deal with the obstacles in our heart that does not let the word to go through us and become part of our inner being. And that requires some dealings. And the Lord, in his faithfulness, he gives us a word that is sweet to our mouth. But if we want this word to be assimilated and become part of us, the Lord will give us some experiences that prove, that test this word. And this will require obedience. And this will require cooperation. And this will require the dealing of the self and of the flesh. And sometimes, this is not easy to take. Sometimes, this is bittersome in our stomach. Be careful that the word is not telling us that we become bitter people. It's inwardly, there is a bitter sense. And the Lord gave me an example that kind of helped me to understand, and that is Galatians 2:20. In Galatians 2:20, we read that I am crucified with Christ, and it's no longer I who live. Amen. Hallelujah, just there. I am crucified with Christ, and it's no longer I who live. I can enjoy this word in the morning, and it's so life-giving. I am crucified with Christ, hallelujah, amen. And it's no longer I who live, amen. Amen. It is sweet to my mouth, but maybe later in the same day, the Lord give me an experience, maybe a disagreement with my wife, maybe a situation at the workplace that is not suitable for me, or maybe some situations in which I just can't take it. Oh, do I remain crucified with Christ? Or I'm just going to be my own? So that word, it will be there to speak to me if I ate it, if I enjoy it. But will I give my cooperation to it? If I choose to, I will have to take the cross. And the word that is reminded in my inner being also will give me the grace to do it. But it's not going to be a pleasant feeling to deny my soul. And that is what this bitterness refers to. But when I do it, oh, not only this becomes now part of my being. Now there is more room for Christ to just fill my heart. Amen. But also, it will give me more appetite for the word. Amen. To continue to take him in. This is the cooperation that the Lord desires, that when we take the word, for the word to become part of our being. Amen. Ezekiel also was told the same thing. He was not told not just to enjoy it in his mouth, but he was told, feed your stomach and fill your inward parts. Oh, we need to take this word to fill our inner being with the word, to be saturated with the word. And then in verse 11 of Revelation, It tells us what happens when we have this experience. You must prophesy again. Amen. Oh, when we enjoy the word in such a way that we eat it, we enjoy it, we digest it, we assimilate it by cooperating and being obedient to that word. Oh, our heart is filled with the Lord. Amen. And then you can help but speak. Amen. You can help but say what is in your heart. Because out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Amen. Oh, Lord, give us such an experience. Amen. That you will fill us with your word as you fill us with yourself. Amen. Oh, may the Lord, by his grace, gain our full cooperation. Amen. Oh, Lord, in this matter, that the word of Christ will really dwell richly in us. Amen. and that he will make his home in our hearts.
Amen.
Amen.
I need that. Thank you. I fully agree with our brother that through this message in Ezekiel, I also have a greater appreciation for the word. It's really something. You know, in Ezekiel chapter 3, verse 4, the Lord tells Ezekiel to speak with God's words. After you eat the word, you can speak with God's word. Amen. That's what we need to do. So, we need to go to Hebrews chapter 5, verses 12 and 13. Let's read these verses together. For because solid food. For he is an infant. You know, the thought that the word is for us to eat really is a revolutionary thought. Why? There's no other book that you can say the same thing. Actually, only the Bible is a book we need to eat. If we read other things, it will not be the same. And you cannot say, for instance, my physics book, I have to eat it. No such thing. It's only for our mind, only for our understanding with our brain. But not so the Word of God. Actually, in Genesis 2:9, we read that in Eden, in the Garden of Eden, there were two trees. There was the tree of life. And God wanted Adam to eat this tree, but there was also the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. You know, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil is subtle, like Satan is subtle. It doesn't say it's the tree of death, but that's actually what it is. So the point is, of course, initially, we have to take the word in by our mind. But if it only stays in our mind, it's the wrong tree. And Paul said in 2 Corinthians that they were actually ministers of the Spirit. Well, the Spirit gives life, but not the word. The word kills. So this is a revolutionary thought. If we only read the word, if we only store the word in our mind, not only is not life, it's death. Wow. We better see how important this is. God's words are food. But for that, the word in us has to go through a process. In other words, we need to learn how to do it. We need to exercise our spirit in order to be able to eat the word. I trust that we all can see this morning. Although the Bible is a book of teaching, its teaching is not merely to impart mental knowledge. This is the initial aspect. The words we see here, milk and solid food, in Hebrews 5:12, tell us right away, this is a matter of food. So we need to see this. Here, Paul was disappointed with the Hebrew believers, because they weren't able to eat the solid food. We'll come to that later. So we need to see this is a matter of food. Now we need to see also, just like we saw yesterday, the Lord is our pattern. You know, the religious concept is that the Lord is God in the third heavens. But the Bible concept is that the Lord is a God-man. Not only is he God, but also he is man. And let's read Matthew 4:4.
Alone, and by every word proceeds out of the mouth of God.
Satan tempted the Lord Jesus, telling him, if you are the Son of God, speak to these stones that they become bread. Now you may say, well, big deal. It was a big deal. The Lord Jesus had not eaten for 40 days. That was a major temptation for his soul. You know, the Lord Jesus did have a soul, but he resisted the temptation. And he told Satan, I'm not here as the Son of God. I'm here as the Son of Man. And man shall not eat by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out through the mouth of God. This is really so clear. The Lord Jesus, he was born of Mary, right? When he was born of Mary, he wasn't born knowing the 66 books of the Bible. Whoa, sorry, no, not 66. Not knowing the Old Testament. He did not know. He had to get up early in the morning and study the word, just like us. He was a perfect human being. So we shouldn't feel it's too much to have morning watch. The Lord had to do that himself. He had to do exactly what we do, every day. So he testified to Satan that he lived by eating the word of God. That was his personal testimony. And that brings us to John chapter 6. John chapter 6, verse 57.
Let's read this verse. As living Father sent me, so live because of me.
This is again the same as the Lord's testimony to Satan.
We need to realize that as the living Father has sent me, and I live because of the Father.
The Lord Jesus lived because of the Father. He is the only one that could express the Father. He is the one who spoke the words of the Father. He didn't speak his own words. And he did the will of the Father. So in a sense, when the Lord Jesus was living, the Father was living through him, was being expressed through him, was being spoken through him. So this is the situation. But we need to see, I live because of the Father. So he who, what? Eats me.
Well, I have to confess, when I came to the church and the saints were singing, eating is the way, I felt terrible. Eating the Almighty God, that's heresy. But it's because eating the Lord Jesus is eating the Word.
Oh, I trust that all of us will have a new appreciation for the Word. Amen. Only the Word enables us to have an increase of Christ. What does God desire? God desires even to be the fibers of our being, everything. Then we can say, I am crucified with Christ. We cannot be crucified with Christ if he's not everything. So, this is a good beginning. Eating the Word so we can live because of Christ. Then, John 6:63. Let's read this verse.
Spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. The words which I have spoken to you, spirit and our life.
So this refers to the nature of the Word. The Word is spirit and life. Again, I can't say my physics book is spirit and life. No such thing. I can't say I'm reading the newspaper and it is spirit and life. No such thing. We realize that. But the nature of the Word is not black written on white. It is spirit and it is life. That's why we need to eat the Word, digest it, and assimilate it so it becomes part of us. This is what we need to do. So we shouldn't approach the Bible like we approach any other book. If we approach any other book, we approach it to know what's there. But with the Bible, it is spirit and it is life. Let's read verse 68. Oh, that's a precious verse. Let's read it together. Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have eternal life. When the Lord Jesus spoke that he is the bread that came from heaven, and that he would offer his flesh for the world, some of the Jews left. They were offended. Then the Lord Jesus said, are you going to leave also? One time that Peter had the right answer. To whom shall we go? You have words of eternal life. My goodness, Peter did know something. Do we know that the Bible has words of eternal life? We need to realize this. So we need to see that the Bible is not just any old book. Christ is now the life-giving Spirit in resurrection, and this Spirit is embodied in the Word. As our brother mentioned in Ephesians 6, 17, and 18. So we need to see this. Now the Lord Jesus is the life-giving Spirit to get into us so easily. My wife got a book on Christianity, cults, religions. I thought, that's interesting. So I glanced through it. No life-giving, no Spirit, no Lord Jesus being the life-giving Spirit. No such thing in what this book described as the proper Christian doctrine. So how wonderful it is for us to realize that the Lord has the words of eternal life because he is the life-giving Spirit and can be in us. In the training, I was surprised to hear, you know, I'm not technically expert, that there's an app that you can use so the English can be translated to Spanish, Chinese, and other languages. Saints, our spirit is that app. Our spirit can convert the black and white into spirit and life. Amen. So we need to exercise our spirit. Amen. When we come to the Word. So our brother already mentioned Ephesians 6, 17, and 18, so we don't need to read it again, but the way to exercise our spirit is by all prayer and petition. So prayer is general, petition specific. Why specific? Because as we're in the Word, maybe a word jumps out of the Word and we just pray over that. You know, many years ago, I was in the training on the Old Testament. And it came to the point that David wanted to build a house for the Lord. How wonderful. The prophet told him, you're not going to build a house for the Lord. You're a man of war. You killed people. But God said, I will give you a son, and he will build up a house for you, and I will establish his throne forever. Of course, that was Solomon, but a picture of Christ. And what happened? David went back to the Lord and repeated what the Lord said. So many years ago, I said, wow, what big deal. And the life study said, this is marvelous. We need to do the same thing. As we see a promise in the Bible, we need to apply the promise. How do we do that? Bring it back to the Lord in prayer. And What does the Bible say through Paul? That in the Lord is the yes, in the Lord is the amen. Amen. When we bring back to the Lord a promise, he says, amen. And he does it. So we need to learn this exercise when we come to the Word. We need to be nourished with the Word. Actually, in 1 Peter 2:2, it talks about the guileless milk of the Word, which is conveyed by the Word of God to nourish our inner man. Yes, it's assimilated by our mental faculties, but it has to go through our spirit. Then it does not make us soulish if we just take the Word in our mind, then it's just soulish, but spiritual, suitable for being built up as a spiritual house. God made a promise, right? In Matthew, he promised, I will build my house. How is he going to do that? By our eating the Word and becoming spiritual. Yes, it has to go through our mind, has to be received through our mind. So when we read the Word, we shouldn't read it in a mindless way. However, we need to exercise our entire three-part being. I'm not promoting a new way to study the Bible, but maybe sometimes it's good to even read it out loud. Exercise your whole being to take in the Word. So then that brings us to 1 Peter 2:2 and 3. Let's read it together. As you are faith. Amen. So as I just mentioned, we need to take the Word with all prayer, and we need to long for the guileless milk of the Word. But it's very interesting. It tells us in verse 2 about we need to long for the guileless milk of the Word, and then verse 3 doesn't say if you have tasted the Word. You see that? That's what we would understand. Okay, so we come to the milk of the Word and we taste the Word. No, it says, if you have tasted that the Lord is good. How do we taste that the Lord is good? By tasting the milk of the Word. That is very, very clear. And that brings us to Hebrews again, 5:13, but this time also verse 14. Let's read verses 13 and 14 together. For everyone who partakes of milk is inexperienced in the word of righteousness, for he is Well, here actually, if you read the note, discriminating between both good and evil is really between what's best and what is better. But the point is that we need to advance from the milk of the Word to the solid food. We need to be those who can take in, who can digest the solid food. Why? Because
It tells us in verse 13 that the milk of the word is for infants. But for the full grown, we need the solid food. But also, verse 13 tells us, for everyone who partakes of milk is inexperienced in the word of righteousness. So the word of righteousness is the solid food. What is the word of righteousness? Well, an example of the word of righteousness is when we covered message 8 of Ezekiel, of the training in Ezekiel, that there was a man on the throne. Nobody likes to be under authority. We want to be our own authority. So maybe we enjoy Ezekiel, but when we come to chapter 1, verse 26, the man on the throne, we skip that. No, we need to advance. We need to mature to the word which is solid food. And finally, let's go to 1 Corinthians 3:2. Let's read this verse. I gave you milk to drink, not solid food. You were not able to receive it. So, we need to see here, it's a terrible thing for a grown-up person to eat baby food. Right? So we need to advance in our eating to the word, in the eating of the word of God. So we shouldn't be choosy when we come to the word of God. We shouldn't just read Psalms, but we also need to read the word of righteousness, which speaks of the kingdom of God, where we are called to be in the kingdom of God. But for that, we need to mature. We need to experience the divine dispensing of the Lord. And nothing is more important than that. I hope that by now you are convinced. Amen. Nothing is more important than eating the word of God.